I want you to know how much I loved you. I loved you so much I sent my son to die for you. God is gathering a family that will love and will live with him forever. Very clear, if God did not want a family, he would not have created you and me. You've got to choose to be in the family.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
If you haven't already done so, look inside your program, take out your message outline for this morning. If you're new with us or hadn't been with us the last few weeks, we're on a series where we have been trying to discover God's purposes for our life. There are five of them that we are looking at. And I hope that you have learned in this series this thing more than anything else: you're not an accident. You may have been an accidental child, so to speak, or people would say that. There's no such thing. There may be accidental parents, but there's no such thing as an accidental child. Your parents may not have planned for you, so to speak, but God did. And God has a plan for your life, and this plan includes value and significance. And so because our lives have value and significance, we're asking this one question that you've got to be able to answer when you walk out of here today. What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Let me give you a quick update. This is where we've been in this series, looking at the five purposes for why God has created us. First of all, we've discovered this, that I am planned for God's pleasure. I am planned for God's pleasure. That's the first purpose. So my calling is, I am called to be loved. And God says to you, and he says to me, before you do anything for me, I want you to receive something from me. I want you to know how much I loved you. I loved you so much I sent my son to die for you. And I want a relationship with you. I want you to receive my love. That's the first purpose for anything else. Got to settle that one. Purpose number two is this, that I am formed for God's family. I'm formed for God's family. God's family has a name. It's called the church. And so I am called to belong. I'm called to belong, to be a part of God's family. The third purpose that we looked at a few weeks ago, I'm called to be created like Christ. My calling is to become like the person of Jesus. As you and I read and study his life, we're to follow his cues. We're to live as Jesus lived. The fourth purpose that we looked at last week, that I am shaped for serving God. I am called to be a blessing to other people. How does that happen? By serving them. By serving people, we become blessings. Now, just a follow-up from last week's message, inside your program, again, you're going to see two inserts that are very important. One is a half sheet, and we said, as your staff, I talked to you last week about this, some of you we don't know, and you are like a diamond that is yet to be uncovered. You're like a piece of gold to be unearthed. We don't know who you are. I may know your name, but we don't know, what do you do for a living, and what are your interests, and that type of thing. So would you just fill out this little half sheet of paper? It says, we want and need to know you. So if you would fill that out, that would be great. And then last week also, we really didn't mention this very much, but there is another form in your program that relates to New Hope's ministry opportunities, a way to serve here at New Hope. Last week we talked about, we mentioned this, but this week we told you that there is what we're calling a ministry event outside. You're going to see a special canopy set up. When you look at this, you kind of look at some of these things, say, I'm not sure even what that is. I'd like to ask about that. You can go out to this canopy. Pastor Melvin, some others will be there. They'll answer questions about any of these ministries and stuff. And if you turn in this form to them, I have been told you get a piece of candy. Now, if you turned yours in last week, here's what you do. You say, I turned mine in last week. I deserve two pieces of candy, all right, right there on it. So turn those in today and make sure you do that. That's very important. As we talk about, we are blessed to serve. We are called to serve. Today we look at the fifth purpose, and that is I am called to be sent. I'm called to help other people understand the good news about Jesus Christ. So let me just stop right here and make sure you understand what we've done. We've asked the question, what on earth am I here for? We have now answered the question, what on earth am I here for? I hope you could say, well, what's my purpose? I'm here, first of all, to receive God's love. I'm here, second of all, to be part of God's family. I'm here, third of all, to become like the person of Christ. I'm here, fourth, to serve other people, to bless other people. Fifth, I'm here to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. Now, there's a lot of individual things that we'll ask, well, what's God's will for me about this job and about, you know, this person or what, those types of things. All valid concerns. You pray for wisdom. You seek wise counsel. But they fall within inside God's bigger umbrella. What are you here for? Those five things are why we're here. And so those other things are underneath that, if you would, and we can help with that. But more importantly, God is more concerned with who you are and who you're becoming than what you do. He wants you to become his child. And then this whole process of understanding his love and becoming like Christ and serving and sharing, those all come into play. Here's the first fill in the blank on your message outline. What we're going to be talking about this morning. God is gathering a family that will love and will live with him forever. A family that will love and live with him forever. The Bible makes this very clear. If God did not want a family, he would not have created you and me. He would not have created us. In Ephesians 1:5, the great missionary Paul wrote these words to the ancient church in Ephesus. He says, God's unchanging plan, unchanging, very important. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. How does this happen? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great what? Great pleasure. Look at this next fill-in, and actually it's four short sentences that many people fail to connect the dots and understand this. Here it is. First of all, everyone is created by God. Most of us, if we believe in a God, would say, I'm all in on that. I agree with that. Second one is this. All of us are loved by God. Yes, God did not make something he does not love. He loves all of his creation. Yes, this third one is what throws people. But not everyone is a child of God. What? Well, I thought if he created us, we're all a child of God. No. No, that's not true. Look at this last one. It says this. Next fill in the blank goes like this. You got to choose to be in the family. You have to choose to be in the family. Fill in goes like this. God's purpose of creating the universe is to gather a group of people who choose willingly love him. To willingly love him. I cannot imagine one of the greatest hurts that I think anyone could ever, especially a parent could ever feel, if your children who you birthed, who you loved, who you sacrificed for, would one day look at you and say as their parents, I want nothing to do with you. Whoa. Whoa. That would be very, very heavy. But yet God has given us free choice to choose or reject a relationship with him. Why is that so important? Because if it's forced, it's not faith. If it's forced, it's not love. Can you force somebody to love you? Help me out here. That'd be a no, wouldn't it? You cannot do it. You force somebody to serve you as long as you have power over them or as long as they're old enough to be under your care. You can't force love. And God says, I want you to choose, willingly choose to have a relationship with me, to love me. So here's the offshoot of that. It's the next fill-in. For God to gather his family, in other words, for someone to choose to follow Christ, notice this, somebody has to pass on the good news. Somebody's got to tell them. That's where you and I come into play. Romans chapter 10, verse 3:15, it clearly spells this out for us. The scripture tells us anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? He goes on and he writes these words. He tells us, by the way, there's like a delay on the slides. They're not slow, it's just the computer system's a little slow sometimes. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's what we are. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. That leads us to our fifth purpose that we'll talk about today. It's the bullet on your outline. My fifth purpose in life is to share the good news about Jesus. To share the good news about Jesus. The moment you and I step across that line of faith and we make a deliberate decision to willfully choose to follow after Christ, then the scripture tells us God wants us to immediately to begin to share the good news with other people. If you and I had a cure for cancer and we did not share that, we withheld that, that would almost be criminal, would it not? And yet the scripture tells us God has given us something, an even greater message. A message that will help people understand that our past can be forgiven, that we can have meaning and purpose here in this life and have our eternal destiny secure as well. Not to share that good news indeed would be criminal. In fact, it would be eternally criminal if you would. So here's my calling. For every purpose, there's an assignment, if you would. Here's the calling. I am called to bring others into God's family. I'm called to help bring others into God's family. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, again, the great missionary Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, wrote these words: "Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself, and God gave us the work of bringing everyone into peace with him." I've shared this illustration with you before. I'm going to share it again. One of the reasons I keep sharing these little goofy illustrations sometimes with you, because I want you to hear it so many times, immediately when I pull it out, you go, "I know that." Because here's what I want you to know. You know, when you say, "I got you, Pastor, I already know that." No, I got you, because I want you to know this, so that when you get at McDonald's and you're talking to your friend, or maybe a better restaurant, Taco Bell, you're Taco Bell and you're sharing with your friend about your relationship with Jesus, you pull out something, you pull out your hamburger and you do the same illustration. I'm going to use it with a book. This hand, my hand represents my life. The table represents God. I want to connect with God. I was made to connect with God. However, the book represents sin in my life. And because I have sin in my life, it disconnects me from God. It doesn't matter how I try to approach God, I can never get to God because of the sin in my life. And Jesus Christ said, "You got a problem that you can't solve on your own, so I'm going to solve it for you." And Jesus Christ came. He lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth. He voluntarily gave his life as a sacrifice so that he could take our sins away from us onto himself. That's why Jesus is everything about our relationship with God. It's all about what he's done for us. Not that I've done anything for myself. It's what he has done for me. Now, because he has removed my sins from me, I can reconnect with God. I can reconnect with God. Look at this Bible verse. Last words are important, aren't they? If you knew somebody was breathing and saying their last words, wouldn't you pay special attention? Here are the last earthly words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. Acts 1:8 tells us this. Jesus said this to his followers gathered around. "You will be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, what does that mean? And I've got a map here for you to kind of point out what is Jesus talking about. So he's saying to his followers, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Here's Jerusalem down here. Why Jerusalem? Because that's where they were. That's like their hometown. He says, first of all, you're going to start where you live. You're going to be my witnesses where you live. Then he said Judea. Judea was like the country. In this case, it was a very small country, his immediate area around them. For us, it might be San Diego County, maybe go all the way up to L.A., that type of thing, but it's our immediate region. Then he says, "You're going to be my witnesses in Samaria." Notice that's in a different color. It's not the same country. It's descendants of the Jews, but they had intermarried and so forth, so it was a different language, although they all spoke, the common Greek language of that day in Jesus' time, but it was different language, different culture, if you would. And so he's calling us to share with a different culture. We could look and many people say, "Well, that's our neighbors to the south. That's Mexico." Oh, folks, you wouldn't even have to go to Mexico anymore. The world has come to San Diego. Our county is filled with people from all over the world. The world has come to us. And then he says, then you share this good news to the ends of the world. That's everywhere. That's why we as Christians are passionate about sharing the good news everywhere across the world. How much God loves them, what God has done for them. So the fill in the blanks on your message outline go like this. Here they go. Jerusalem refers to Chula Vista. That's our hometown. We're to be witnesses in Chula Vista, California. Judea, we might say Southern California. Southern California. Samaria might be people nearby, but of a different culture. Close to us, but yet a different culture. And then the ends of the earth, everywhere in the world. Now notice what Jesus says when those last words. He says, "You're to be my witnesses." He doesn't say you're to be a defense attorney. He doesn't say you and I are to be a prosecutor or a salesman, but a witness. Look at the fill in the blank. All God wants you to do is to be a witness. Now, what does a witness do? We've all seen court cases on TV. Maybe many of you have been a witness. Maybe you sat on a jury. What does a witness do? They simply get up on the stand and they answer questions about what they have experienced personally, what they have seen. That's what a witness is. And what God is asking you and me to do is this. We are to be a witness for him in this way, to give a witness of what he's done in our own lives. Who is the best expert of your life? That would be you. You are the best expert on your life, the best authority. There is no better witness for what God has done in your life than you. And why does God want us to do that? Because he is building a family to spend eternity with him. He's created every person on the face of this earth, and he wants his family, everyone, to come into a relationship with Him. So let me just share with you three quick things related to completing this mission. Completing this mission. Here's the first one. I must share with those in my world. If I'm going to do what He told me to do, be a witness in Jerusalem, I've got to share with those in my world. Now, as soon as I say the word share, some of you just fear comes into your mind. Because you get the idea of what is sharing like. It's kind of like this picture, this cartoon picture right here. Here's what we think sharing is. Here's the Christian crusader, and he's got the Turk down on the ground with a spear pointed at his throat. And the Turk on the ground says this, "Tell me more about this Christianity of yours. I'm terribly interested." And when we think of sharing, we think of forcing our faith on other people, beating over the people over the head with a Bible type of a thing, conforming them to do everything we do. Folks, you can follow Jesus before you ever believe in Him, because every one of the disciples in the New Testament, that's exactly what they did. They began to follow Him before they even knew who He was. So you don't have to conform and be like all the Christians, that type of a thing on that. We start with the people that are already in our life. The people who live by you, the people who work with you, they're not there by accident. They are there by divine design. God put them in your life because He wants you to be a witness to them. Who knows? You may be the answer to someone's prayer. Let me share with you this story, supposedly a true story about a pastor. A guy wrote this story, tells the story. He said, the pastor had a kitten that climbed up in a tree in his backyard but was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed, offered warm milk, etc. The kitty would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb, so the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car, bumper of his back of his car, and drove away slowly so that the tree would bend down, he could reach up and he could get the kitty. He did this, all the while checking his progress frequently. He figured that if he went just a little bit further, the tree would be bent far enough down so he could reach the kitten. But as he moved a little forward, suddenly the rope broke. The tree went boing and the kitty instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they had seen a little kitten. No one had seen a little stray kitten. So the pastor prayed, Lord, I commit this kitten to your keeping. And he went about his business. A few days later, he was at the grocery store and met one of his church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart and was amazed to see cat food. Now, this woman was a cat hater, and everyone knew it. So he asked her, why are you buying cat food when you hate cats? And she replied, you will not believe this, Pastor. And she told him how her little girl had been begging her for a cat, but she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the child had begged again, and finally the mother said to the child, well, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it. So she told the pastor, I watched my child go out into the yard, get down on her knees, and ask God for a cat. And Pastor, really, I'm not making this up. This is incredible. But I saw it with my own eyes. A little kitten suddenly came flying out of the clear blue sky with paws spread out and landed right in front of her. You may be the answer to someone's prayers. Who knows? Who knows on that? You start with those that you have relationships with. You don't have to go looking for them. One time, Jesus healed the man of his sickness, and he was so grateful. He says, Jesus, I want to travel with you. I want to go with you, Jesus. You know what Jesus said to him? No way. No. Here's what he said. This is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus said to the man, go back home. Go back to your people and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went all over the town telling how much Jesus had done for him. The mission starts where you and I are, in our neighborhood, in our community, on our sports teams, at our work. You don't have to search for them. Now, why don't we share? I understand this because I have the same fears. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid we don't know enough. We're afraid that people don't really care about that. Some of you know these two guys right here. Who is that? Penn and Teller. World famous comedian act in Vegas, been on Vegas for years and years and years and years. Penn's the big guy. I'm going to show you a video clip in just a moment of Penn telling a story of how one of his shows one night, they call up people from the audience to participate, and one guy participated, and he gives them the props as a souvenir. The guy came back next night to the show, and he wanted to get his autograph on the props. And as he was doing this after the show that second night, he also pulled out of his pocket, and he gave him a Bible. Penn is a professed atheist. He's going to tell you that on the video, but I want you to hear how he responded to this Christian trying to share his faith with him. Check it out.
I mean, he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize.
What an incredible words out of the mouth of an atheist to Christians. How much do you and I have to hate somebody not to share? Where would you and I be today if somebody hadn't shared with us? Fill-in would go like this. We would be spiritually lost. We would be spiritually lost. Parents, any of you ever lost one of your kids unintentionally? I know sometimes intentionally you might have wanted to lose a kid, but unintentionally? What kind of panic and what kind of fear do you feel in your heart? A sense of desperation. I wonder how God feels as he looks down on his creation who are lost and feels probably that same type of sadness and panic in his heart. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this, God does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. Have you ever wondered why God just didn't call you home once you become a follower of his? I mean, if we really believe what we say about heaven, it's a lot better place than here. Isn't that what you've always heard? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? So why didn't God just take us home? I want you to think about the five purposes why he's got you on this earth. First of all, he's got us on this earth to receive God's love. When you get to heaven, are you going to be able to receive God's love? That'd be a yes, wouldn't it? When you get to heaven, are you going to be part of his family? That's who's there. His family's there. So yes. When you get to heaven, are you going to become more like Christ? And the answer is yes. If you think you're going to get to heaven and sit on a cloud plucking a harp all the time, you've watched too many cartoons. When you get to heaven, you're going to be in a growth mode. You're going to continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. Yes, you're going to become more like Christ in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to be able to share with other people, serve other people. Absolutely, we're going to do that. When you get to heaven, are you going to be able to tell people who do not know Jesus about Jesus? That'd be a no. And the answer is, why is that? Because they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. So why do you think God left you and I here? If we can do all four of the five here, just like we can do there, but there's one thing we can't do. He's left us here to share the good news. Look at this, fill in the blank. We must care about unbelievers because God does. In fact, nothing matters more to God Nothing matters more to God. I hope that you have been reading the Purpose Driven Life book. If you haven't still got a copy of that, we have copies out in the lobby to sell. Make sure you get a copy. If you get nothing out of the messages, you will get a lot out of the book. On day 36, if you've been reading, Rick Warren makes this, the author makes this comment. He says, if you want to be used by God, you must care about what God cares about. What he cares about most is the redemption of the people he made. He goes on one more sentence. He says, he wants his lost children found. Nothing matters more to God. And as we talk about this, I want you to think about a process. Not an event, but a process. And here's what I mean by that. God wants to use you and me to influence people for Christ. A person, when they come to Christ, I want to tell you something. It takes many people are involved in their lives, usually a fairly long process, months, maybe even years. So let's say this table represents God, and there's some people who are very close to God that if they just had some more information, they may say, I want a relationship with God. But there are many people who are very, very far away from God. Very far away from God. They're not just go up telling them good news about Jesus. And go, I want Jesus. No, it's a process. And what God has asked you and me to do is help people influence him so that it may be just an act of kindness. It may be, you know, saying, hey, I'll pray for you when something bad happens. And what happens is they just take one more step closer to Jesus. They're still a long way from Jesus. That's why it takes a process, and that's why it takes many, many people. Somebody else comes along, and maybe they invite them to come play on their volleyball team when there's a bunch of Christians there, and they realize Christians aren't such weird people after all. And they take maybe two steps towards Christ. And somebody else gets involved in their life for whatever reason, and they begin to take another step towards Christ. And it's a process of many people that God uses. But will God allow, you allow, and I allow God to use us to help influence people so they keep taking these steps closer to God, and then finally somebody gets the joy of seeing that person take that final step and commit their life to Christ. But it's a process. It takes time. But influence is what God asks us to do. Influence in people's lives. Here's the second thing we need to remember. If I'm going to complete my mission, I must dare to reach beyond my world, beyond my comfort zone. Beyond my comfort zone. Maybe even to some people who aren't like me. Maybe to some people I wouldn't naturally hang out with. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. What's the common ground? You know, when you get to know somebody or you're beginning a relationship, you try to find what's the common ground. It may be a hobby. It may be the part of the country you're from. It may be sports. It may be fashion. It may be whatever. But we find common ground to try to build relationships, to care about people. In this process, I want you to know this. God expects us to make the first move. He expects us to make the first move. Many of you are familiar with what we term the Great Commission, where Jesus gave us our marching orders. He says, go and make disciples. He didn't say, let them come to you. He said, no, we're to go take the good news to them. Then notice this Bible verse, Galatians 6:2, Paul writes again, and he says this. He says, sometimes we need to stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. Let me ask, if Jesus was here today physically, who do you think he'd hang out with? Who would Jesus naturally gravitate to and hang out with? Probably the same type of people we see him as we read his story in the New Testament. He would probably hang out with people who had needs. Probably not the people who thought they've all got it together. I don't need God. I've got everything I need. No, he would hang out with those who realize I have needs in my life. And many times what would happen, he would start by showing love to them through action before he ever even talked about God. There were times he would heal somebody. Then he would talk to them about God. And so what I'm telling you is this, as we seek to influence people, sometimes it starts with an act of kindness, something very simple, but yet in that person's life could be a profound influence to take one step closer to Christ. Some of you are saying, I can't do this. Look at this. You can do a lot more than you think. You can do a lot more than you think. You can influence. You can be an influence. The Vineyard Church out of Cincinnati, a great church, here's kind of one of their theme sayings. I love this. We believe that small things done with great love will change the world. Wow. I think they're right. I think that will exactly happen. If someone helped you, and then they were talking to you, would you listen to them? Chances are you say, yeah. Why? Because they helped me. They showed they cared about me. They did something nice for me. I would listen to them. Well, folks, that's exactly what we're saying here. Sometimes that act of kindness is the first step to developing a relationship that may lead to you being able to maybe give a witness of what God's done in your life. Look at this next fill in the blank. God wants to use you to influence people towards a relationship with him. I told you this verse last week, and every time I read it, I had to stand back. It's powerful to me. Matthew 25, Jesus one time was saying to a group of people, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, you visited me. Do you remember what the people said when he said this to you? They stepped back and they said, when? We don't ever remember doing that for you, Jesus. When did we ever do that for you? And he said, when you did this to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did it to me. It's acts of kindness. Being compassionate towards other people. Look at this. Let me be honest with you. Look at this next fill-in. If you get involved in your mission in the world, it's going to cost you. Yeah, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you maybe some inconvenience, some time, some energy maybe. It might even cost you a little bit financially. Do you remember last week we talked about corn? How many kernels of corn are on the average? 800, almost close. So 800. Do you remember how many rows there are on a piece of corn? Typically 16 on that. How many ears of corn grow on a stalk? Two to four. But here was the whole principle. Now, some of you remember more about corn than you did the rest of the message. But that's okay. That's okay. Because you got to remember the principle behind the corns. Remember, it's the law of the harvest. You take one little grain of seed and you plant it, and you get back so much more than what you gave and what you planted. Look at this verse, what Jesus said in Mark 10:29. Jesus replied, let me assure you that no one who has given up anything for the love of me to tell others the good news won't be given back 100 times over. You get back so much more than we ever give. Then here's the third principle. I must care about the whole world. I must care about the whole world. Why? Because God does. Let me just tell you how you can care about the whole world practically here at New Hope. Let me give you these days. Sunday, July 7th through Friday, July 12th. Want to go to Mexico for a week? We're going to take a group down, and we've done this several times. We're going to go to Las Barranzas, about 5 hours south of Tijuana. We're going to work with a mission established there, do great work. We're going to be there that whole week long. In the morning, we're going to do physical work projects to improve that campus and their ministry. In the afternoon, we're going to go to a very poor barrio area, and do a vacation Bible school with the kids. At night, we sometimes go back into the migrant camps. People there who come up from the southern part of Mexico to pick tomatoes, and we're going to share movies with them and that type of thing. Give up a week of your vacation time. We'd love to have you go. It's life-changing. If you're interested in that, say, I'd like to know more. Take out your connection card. Just write a note. Hey, tell me more. I'm interested in going to the mission trip to Mexico this coming summer. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. And when Jesus said this, who was he talking to? Was he talking to pastors? No. Was he talking to preachers, seminary professors, missionaries? No. He was talking to normal people just like you and me. That's who he was talking to. Look at this, Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Jesus said this, if you insist on saving your life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake, for the sake of good news, will ever know what it means to really live. Now, here's a hard question. I don't mean to bag on you. I'm not trying to throw guilt on you, but I want to ask you a question because I don't want you to waste your life. Look at this question. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to walk up to you during those streets of heaven and say, hey, listen, you influenced me. You helped me to take that step when I was so far away from God. You helped me to take two steps towards God. Thank you. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Thank you. Who's going to say that to you as you walk the streets of heaven? Look at this fill in the blank. If we care, we have to share. Start with acts of kindness. Start by doing simple things. This is not, you have to be some theological genius and you're going to sit down and share the plan of salvation with somebody the first. It's not about that initially. Obviously, they got to hear. Somebody put it this way. They said that the good news travels over good deeds. Start there. We can all do that. We should be known for being caring, genuine, generous people. That builds the bridges over which we can eventually prayerfully influence others towards Christ. Fill in the blank goes like this. If we are still alive, our mission's not complete. If we're still alive, our mission is not complete. And then let me wrap up this morning by making this very practical to you and me here at New Hope. What does this look like at New Hope Church? We've had the 10,000-foot view down, looking down. What about here? Boots on the ground. Here it is. Four things I'd close with. Number one, consistently pray for your friends who don't know Jesus. Just take a moment on your bookmark. You've been learning those Bible verses, you know, from the 40 days on that. Write down at the bottom maybe two or three people you're just praying for and just begin to pray for them. Just begin to pray for them. Look at what James says, the brother of Jesus wrote these words. He says, you don't have because you don't even ask God. There may be people that God would really use you in your life to move and influence, but we never even ask God to do it. Colossians 4:3 tells us this, pray for us too, Paul wrote, that God may open the door for our message. Write down their names and just pray that God would work in their lives. Pray that God would do what you and I can't do. He's the one that gets them into that relationship with him, but he uses us in the process. Pray that God would bring other Christians into their life to help them along, to influence them further along in the process. Pray that God would open doors for you, whatever it may be. And let me just remind you of this. Often the open doors into a person's life are during very, very difficult and hard times. And when your friends go through hard times, what many people do, they run the other way. A true friend runs to that, and that is a window, a door that soon closes, that a person is usually very open to God during those difficult times. Just remember that. Number two, connect the events New Hope offers to your friends. Connect the events that we offer to your friends. If your friends enjoy sports, invite them to play softball with us. Invite them to play volleyball with us. Invite them to open gym to play basketball with us. Invite them, if they have children, invite them to the events coming up at New Hope, all the social events we have for kids. We have all kinds of things for children on that. One of the greatest opportunities you and I are going to have to make an influence in someone's life is Easter, coming up in about 6 weeks. More people attend Easter than any other Sunday during the year. There are going to be people who normally never go to church are going to be looking for a place to go to church on Easter. We're going to give you invites. We're going to let you send, you can send things through social media. We're going to give you all of that to invite your friends to come. Don't miss that once in a year opportunity on that. Connect the events that your church offers to your friends you're trying to influence. Number three, look for opportunities to do act of kindness, both planned and random. Both planned and random. Jesus simply said he sent the disciples out to preach the kingdom of God, that's the good news, and then to heal the sick. That's good deeds. That's good deeds. Again, the good deeds build a bridge over which the good news of Jesus travels. Number four, you and I need to grow continually. We need to continue to grow spiritually so that we have something to share about God. I hope that you have grown in your relationship with Christ these last 6 weeks. I hope there's been some wow, aha moments for you. You've got something to share. Has God answered a prayer for you in these last 6 weeks? Has God done something in your own life, helped you solve a problem, whatever? You have a witness. You have something to share with people. So we want to continually be growing so that we have something to share with those around us. Jesus said this of his followers. Here's what I want to do in your life, Jesus said. I want to create inside of you an artesian spring, just gushing up waters. And you know what he wants to do? That they're gushing up from our life that others come and drink. Others come and drink from what they see God doing in our own lives. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, the others would come and see, hey, there's something different, and God would use us to influence them. I'm going to close by asking you the most dangerous thing I've ever asked you to do. I usually don't ask you to do dangerous things. I am today. Here's the last fill in the blank. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. It's the most dangerous prayer. Do not pray it. Do not pray it unless you're ready. Here's the most dangerous prayer you can pray. God, use me. Because if you pray that prayer, he will. He's looking for people who'll be willing to love people as he loved, and he will use us to influence them towards a relationship with Christ. Hey, this completes looking at those five different purposes. We got a couple more follow-up messages to come as we wrap this thing up. Hope you'll be with us next week. Make sure you bring a friend. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we have a purpose. And today, as we've talked about, you want to use us. Part of your purpose is that you use us to influence others towards you. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the people around us, to see the lostness. You told us as you looked at the lostness of the world in the first century, it broke your heart. You wept over it. May we look and see that there are people all around who are searching. And God, we do have the answer for spiritual cancer. It's you. Help us to be loving enough. Help us to be courageous enough to do simple things, acts of kindness. Look for open doors. Pray for open doors. If we have the chance, just to maybe mention something that you would use us in the process of seeing someone come to know you. Help us to do this. If we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.